Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary. It's good to see some visitors. You are very welcome indeed. We also welcome those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, Psalm 145, found at hymn 100. Hymn 100, O Lord, thou art my God and King. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 119. How just you are, Lord! How straight and true are your decrees! Let us pray. Almighty God, no one can fathom how great you are. We gather as your people. We come to give thanks for your mighty acts. We praise you for Jesus Christ, the embodiment of your love. Lord God, the sun, moon, and stars are the work of your hands. Your word is a decree that stands forever. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. Gracious God, with the saints of each and every age, we praise your holy name. Almighty God, we confess we have fallen short of the standard you have set for us in Jesus. We are quick to highlight faults in others and slow to acknowledge our own. We take much of what we have for granted and fail to give thanks. We hurt others and cause you pain by living lives that do not reflect the life of Christ. Lord God, slow to anger and good to all, forgive us, and in your mercy help us to amend our ways. Gracious God, you are near to all who call upon you. Bless this time of worship, and may the Holy Spirit fill this place and draw us closer to you and to one another. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Following the service, there'll be a further time of fellowship here in the sanctuary, so please do wait behind if you can for some tea or coffee and a biscuit. The Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal closes today. A very big thank you to everyone who has supported the appeal with gifts and money. We pray God's richest blessing upon the gifts and money and those who will receive the gifts and money, some of the poorest people in the world. So thank you for your generous response. The fourth in a series of Bible studies will be held here in the McMichael Chapel on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and this week we'll explore the question, why and how do I pray? All will be welcome Tuesday at 7. Articles for the winter edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by a fortnight today, the 16th of November. They can be emailed to the address on the intimation sheet or left in the McMichael Chapel. We're looking for photographs, devotional material, book reviews, and perhaps some Christmas recipes would be a good idea. So that's articles for the Parishioner by a fortnight today. On Thursday at 7 o'clock, we'll begin a series of joint church Advent studies. These will be in Park Church. That's the first one this coming Thursday at 7. Stirling Kirks Together will host a ceilidh in our own hall at the end of the month on Saturday the 29th, and there's information about that on the intimation sheet. There will be a Christmas tree festival in the church on Saturday the 6th of December and Sunday the 7th of December, with the church being decorated on the 4th and the 5th. On the Saturday there'll be a coffee morning in the parish halls, and then a soup and dessert lunch, and following the service on the Sunday, tea, coffee and cakes will be available here until 2 o'clock. Now, if anyone would like to help in any way, be it at the coffee morning or the lunch or helping here on the Sunday, there's a sheet of paper out in the vestibule there. And likewise, if someone would like to sponsor a Christmas tree, please speak to Dorothy Walker, and Dorothy's phone number's there on the intimation sheet. So we look forward to that. And finally, next Sunday, the 9th of November, we will have our service of remembrance, with the silence being observed at 11 o'clock. Who does God love? There's a question. Everyone. Now, do you really, really think God loves everyone?
Yes.
Yes. He does. And it is good that God loves everyone. But let's think about what that really, really means. Here is a heart. I've really missed my vacation, haven't I? Here is a heart. It is pure. It is spotless. It is without stain. And sometimes we can be tempted to think that God only loves those who are perfect, those whose lives are pure. And here is another heart. You can see it's crumpled and it's marked and it's stained and it's got words written on it reminding us of the mistakes and the bad choices that people can make. I wonder, what heart do you identify with? I know what heart I identify with, and it is this one here. And I rather imagine you might identify with this heart as well. The remarkable thing is that the Bible tells us, despite our faults, despite our mistakes, despite the bad choices that we can all make at times, God still loves us. And that really is something to remember, to hold on to, and be grateful for. Later on, we'll be thinking about a man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wasn't a good person. No one liked him. He was unlovely. And yet, we are told that Jesus loved him. And because Jesus loved Zacchaeus, he spent time with him. And through spending time with him, Zacchaeus's heart was changed completely. God loves you. God loves me. God loves everyone. And he calls on you and me to do the same. That is not always easy, but it is possible when we try to see each other through the eyes of Jesus. We're going to sing a hymn that was written by John Newton. And John Newton testifies to the fact how his life was changed when, to quote himself, he was touched by God and experienced God's love. It is the well-known hymn 555, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
Oh, Padre. Barida. Good morning, everyone. Our first reading is taken today is taken from Habakkuk 1, and I should be reading verses 1 to 4. And if you wish to follow this in the Pew Bible, which of course is the Revised English Version, you'll find it on page 779. An oracle which the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. Divine justice. How long, Lord, will you be deaf to my plea? Violence, I cry out to you, but you do not come to my rescue. Why do you let me look at such wickedness? Why let me see such wrongdoing? Havoc and violence confront me. Stifle breaks out. Discord arises. Therefore, law becomes ineffective and justice is defeated. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. I'll move straight on to Habakkuk 2, which is on the following page, page 780. And again, I'm reading verses 1 to 4. I stand at my post. I shall take up my position on the watchtower. Done that before a few times. Keeping a lookout to learn what he says to me, how he responds to my complaint. The Lord gives me this answer. Write down a vision, inscribe it clearly on tablets, so it may be read at a glance. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It will testify to the destined hour and will not prove false. Though it always wait for it, for it will come surely before too long. The reckless will lack assured future, while the righteous will live by being faithful. Our final reading today comes from Luke 19, and I shall be reading verses 1 to 10. And again, if you're following this in the Pew Bible, you can find it on page 70. Entering Jericho, he made his way through the city. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was superintendent of taxes and very rich. He was eager to see what Jesus looked like. But being a wee little man, he could not see him for the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree in order to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, be quick and come down, for I must stay in your house today. He climbed down as quickly as possible, as quickly as he could, and welcomed him gladly. At this there was a general murmur of disapproval. He has gone into a house as a guest of a sinner, they said. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Here and now, sir, I will give half my possessions to charity. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will repay him four times over. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, for this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save what is lost. May God bless these readings of his day.
Thank you, John. In case you're wondering where my colleague Jake is today, he's slumming it up at Dunblane Cathedral. But he'll be back with us next week. I'll take this opportunity when he's not here to say what a real joy it is to have Jake with us. And I am really enjoying working with him, and I think he's enjoying working with me as well. He's just a delightful person, and I give thanks to God for him. Recognizing that yesterday was All Saints Day and today is All Souls Day, we sing the hymn 741, hymn 741, Glory to you, O God, for all your saints in light. I find it challenging that the people Jesus appears to have spent most of his time with, the people he liked to socialize with, the people he seemed to lavish his attention upon, were considered outsiders or marginalized in society. They were also what some would call the social misfits of the day. Zacchaeus is one example. Luke tells us he was a tax collector, but he was no ordinary tax collector. Zacchaeus was not the little plump bald guy who sat at the toll booth and collected the tolls and tariffs the Romans charged the local people. He was instead the chief tax collector, which meant that he managed the system, and it was a system he had corrupted. Zacchaeus was, to put it bluntly, a career criminal who had managed to make it big, and he was despised by the people as a consequence. Can I put it to you that sadly there are many like Zacchaeus in the world today? One thinks of people whose only thought is for themselves and whose sole aim in life would appear to feather their own nest and advance their own cause. I can think of someone, it would seem, who would be a good example of that and who is currently making the headlines. Such people have no thought for others or of how their actions will impact on them. It isn't right, and it definitely isn't fair or just. I don't recall referring to Habakkuk in a sermon, but after more than 35 years of preaching, I'm making amends for that today. Habakkuk lived at a time when injustice, corruption, and exploitation seemed to thrive, and God appeared to be silent. His cry, "How long, Lord, will you be deaf to my plea?" is a cry I'm sure we can all relate to. We see the world's deep-seated problems, and we cry as well. How long, Lord, will there be hunger and homelessness? How long, Lord, will there be war and conflict? How long, Lord, will people go about stabbing others? How long, Lord, will the wicked seem to prosper? Habakkuk's lament, which is very much within the biblical tradition, is very helpful in that it lets us know it is okay to ask questions of God about injustice and poverty and pain and suffering and loss. That is what Habakkuk did. His faith, and it was a faith that was real and genuine, did not lead him to silently accept the chaos that was all around him. No, far from it. It drew him into a dialogue with God. And in so doing, he provides us today with a good model to follow. Many centuries after Habakkuk's time, we come to the story of Zacchaeus. He was a social outcast who symbolized the very corruption and injustice Habakkuk railed against. The people of Jericho, they must have wondered what on earth they had done to deserve a scoundrel like Zacchaeus as their tax collector. They could see no good in him. But they thought, all that is surely about to end. Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, was in town. He would sort Zacchaeus out once and for all. But alas, they were in for a shock. For some reason, Zacchaeus was drawn to Jesus. And that is interesting in itself. Why should he be drawn to Jesus? Maybe it was just curiosity. Or maybe it was to while away a hot afternoon when there was nothing better to do than count his money. Or maybe it was the rumour Zacchaeus couldn't help hearing about this rabbi's penchant for hanging around with the wrong kind of people. This he had to see. And he was so determined that he climbed a sycamore tree so that he could see more than the backs of his neighbours. And it was then that Jesus spotted him. Zacchaeus, what are you doing monkeying about up there? Maybe I'm paraphrasing a wee bit. Who knows what Jesus exactly said? Maybe it was something like, get down here in a hurry because I'm coming to your house today. Luke doesn't tell us whether Zacchaeus climbed down out of the tree or fell out of it. My guess is it was the latter. He was so astonished himself that Jesus should speak to him. My friends, let there be no doubt. Jesus' invitation to Zacchaeus shattered the social conventions and it scandalized the crowd. They probably thought, for a smart young preacher, he sure doesn't know much about people. But then when they realized he knew only too well who Zacchaeus was, we are told they started to murmur. I wonder what they said. He can't be serious. There isn't a bigger crook in the county. Has this rabbi lost his marbles? This was no joke. It caused a scandal. What was it that really bothered the good people of Jericho? Can I put it to you? It was not so much what Jesus had to say. It was what he did. It is one thing to believe in loving your neighbour, to believe in welcoming the lost, to believe in forgiving the guilty. But it is quite another thing to practice what you preach and actually do it. That's what bothered the people about Jesus. He not only said that we should love God and one another, he actually went out and did it. He didn't just say God's embrace was wide enough to welcome everyone. He actually went out and embraced people no one else would. It upset the balance. It was too unsettling to the way that things were. And perhaps it still is. The church can sometimes seek to portray an image of respectability. Sometimes the church can give the impression to the outside world that we all live good and upright lives, that we are of unquestionable moral character with the best of credentials. And because of that, certain sections of society think they cannot be part of the church, that there isn't a place within it for them. And that is awful. And that is wrong. Whether we like it or not, Jesus Christ has a heart for all people, including those whose way of life may differ from our own. And that we surely see in the story about Zacchaeus. Why should Jesus give time to such an apparent rogue? The people of the day did not like it. This did not sit well for them, and perhaps we don't like it either. But the reality is, we are called to do the same. And therein lies a challenge, if ever there was one. Luke tells us that as a result of his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus immediately pledged to give half his possessions to the poor, and those he had cheated he would repay four times over. This was far more than the law at the time required him to do. But can I put it to you, it was a free and heartfelt response from a man who, like John Newton, had been found by Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus had been transformed wonderfully through his encounter with Jesus, and it showed in what he did. My dear friends, the God who seemed so silent in Habakkuk's time has come and made himself known. He has come in human form, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come not to condemn the sinner, but to enter his home, to know him by name, and to restore him to his rightful place as a child of Abraham. In the church, the body of Christ, there is room for all. That is what we are to proclaim and demonstrate in our lives as Christian people. And in so doing, may it please God be that the church will become a place of radical hospitality, where all, regardless of what they have done or who they are, feel welcome. For this is the gospel. This is the good news of God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the hymn 360, Jesus Christ is waiting in the streets. Let us pray. Almighty God, all things come from you, and of your own we give you, as we commit ourselves and our gifts afresh to you, the one who meets us where we are and who blesses us beyond our deserving. Gracious God, we praise you for the boundless grace and mercy you show to us. And we rejoice in the salvation that is ours, not through any merit of our own, but through our faith in Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost. Lord God, we draw near to you with hearts that, like Habakkuk's, are sometimes troubled by the injustice and violence that exists in the world. And we echo his cry, "How long, O Lord, how long?" as we witness the brokenness of creation and the suffering of your people. Yet even as we cry, we know you're a God who understands our lament and who gives us hope as we trust that ultimately your will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Almighty God, we pray for all whose lives have been impacted by Hurricane Melissa. We think of those who have lost loved ones, their homes and their livelihoods. And we remember the aid agencies and all who are seeking to help at this time. Lord God, we continue to pray for peace in the Middle East, how fragile it seems to be. And we pray for those other parts of the world where war rages and there is conflict. Gracious God, we lift up before you those who are sick, those who feel lost, and all who mourn, remembering as we do the families and friends of Sheila Gallen and Elizabeth Park. Be to them and all in our thoughts a source of comfort and of strength. Lord God, we pray for ourselves, asking that, like Zacchaeus, our hearts might be transformed, and that turning away from greed and pride, we may live lives of generosity and justice. Almighty God, we join with your church the world over to give thanks for your saints who have loved and served you on earth and who now rest from their labours. We praise you for sacrifices made and victories won. And we further give thanks for the personal memories we have of family members and friends who are now in your nearer presence, for the hands that held us, the voices that inspired us, and the love that enriched our lives. We praise you. And we pray that in your mercy, you would bring us at the last to fullness of life with all your saints in the joy and glory of your eternal kingdom. These things we humbly ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I remind you of the invitation to wait behind after the service if you can for a further time of hospitality. You will be most welcome. Our closing hymn, hymn 511. Your hand, O God, has guided your flock from age to age. May the God of hope, who will not fail you, fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. May the Lord of life, whose love knows no bounds, watch over you now and always. May the Holy Spirit, ever present with us, guide you and lead you in the way everlasting. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and forevermore.